lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14 says this, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." In other words, surround yourself with the truth. Where do we stand today? Or does it really matter anymore where the Christian stands? What kind of a stand the Christian does? What is the Christian supposed to be doing? Well, I'll tell you one thing we're supposed to be doing, and that is to stand with the Lord. As a body of believers, local church that we belong to, do we really believe God? Do we really follow the precepts of the world, or do we really follow the precepts of God that are found in the Bible? And that is the King James Bible. Horses used to be fitted with blinders when they plowed a field. These blinders did not cover the eyes, but rather fit beside each eye so the horse would not be distracted by something appearing on either side of the horse. The blinders kept the horse plowing in a straight direction because the blinders kept the horse's peripheral vision blocked. In other words, no distractions. Well, many saved people today have on blinders. Now, the blinders I speak of that many saved people have on are not so much to block the saved person's vision of the things of the world, but the things of God. My question to you is this: do your blinders block the precepts of the world or the precepts of God? When amusement is necessary to get people to listen to the gospel, there will be failure. This is not the method of Christ. To form an organization and provide all kinds of entertainment is to be foredoomed to failure. G. Campbell Morgan said this. He was a man who lived from 1863 through 1945. Well, we as people who represent a holy God should never have it in our minds that we are going to win to Christ the world, and that's the unsaved people, by being like them. There are problems in the local church today. Biblical doctrine has become irrelevant, in other words, not important. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Well, God, the Holy Spirit, says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 that those who say biblical doctrine is irrelevant, in other words, not necessary, are listening and teaching doctrines of devils, demons. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul tells Timothy to pay attention, give attendance to doctrine. What doctrine is he speaking of? It's the whole counsel of God, the teaching of the Scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Now, those who teach that the Scriptures are irrelevant are walking on dangerous ground. 2 John 1:9 says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." In today's churches, many of the churches, messages have become shorter to become more relative in order to draw bigger crowds. Some churches believe it is more important to keep the congregation comfortable. One person in the Bible got so comfortable that he fell three stories and died. Acts chapter 20 and verse 9 says, "And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead." Well, there's a verse in the Bible that says, "Awake, thou that sleepest," and many people in churches today are asleep, and that's dangerous. Especially we read of it in Acts chapter 20 and verse 9, where this young man fell, and it killed him. Well, we keep reading in Acts chapter 20 and verse 10, and read how Paul, by God's power, revived the man. It says, "And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." Well, some churches believe entertainment should be a priority. And when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the book of Luke chapter 24, these verses give insight as to being an adult Christian and what should be the priority in the church. Notice with me 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Instead of being entertained in church by the things of the world, we need to be interested in the things of God. Luke chapter 24 and verse 32. "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Our hearts need to burn today and yearn for the heavenly manna from heaven, the everlasting Word of God. Psalm 122 and verse 1 says, "I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord." When we go into the house of the Lord, the local church, we need to hear the scriptures being read. We need to hear the scriptures of God being taught, as thus saith the Lord. Well, there's such a thing as pragmatism around today, and it's been around for a long time, and that pragmatism means to be concerned with results rather than biblical doctrine. Well, that philosophy has worked for the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Church of Christ, the mega anything goes church and so forth, and it's worked for them. Well, pragmatism will work if a church wants to abandon the principles of God. I'm not saying all mega churches have abandoned the principles of God. Being big does not mean ungodly. Being small does not mean ungodly. Not standing for God is ungodly. Notice something else about pragmatism. We keep studying this word, and we see that pragmatism sucks the truth out of biblical teaching more than any other scheme Satan has devised to date. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 26. It says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine," this is Jesus speaking, "and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." A local church who forsakes the principles of God, the biblical teachings found in the Word of God, is likened to the person who builds a house upon unstable ground. Oh, the church may be growing in numbers, but not for the Lord. Man can devise all the programs he wants, but it is God who gives the increase in his local church. God does not measure the success of a local church based on the number of people who attend. Success is not measured by numbers, but by doing God's will. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Pragmatism, evolution, secular humanism, and relativism have been very effective in crippling the church. Relativism says that there is no right or wrong. There are no absolutes, no truth or error. It all depends on the circumstances of the time. Notice this. Relativism says it doesn't make any difference how you get them to church. We live in a new age, relativism says. It doesn't make any difference if you let non-saved people take part in the worship service and music and advice to the congregation and so forth. Relativism says that when you call sin, sin in someone's life, you are being mean-spirited, judgmental. What you see as wrong, according to the Bible, may not seem wrong to someone else, it says. Don't tell someone to open their eyes to the unsound doctrine or heresy being taught in their local church. Don't tell someone that unless they receive Christ as Savior, they are going to hell. That is being judgmental. One person has observed this. In the world, it is called tolerance, but in hell, it is called despair. The soul that believes in nothing, cares for nothing, seeks to know nothing, interferes with nothing, enjoys nothing, hates nothing, finds purpose in nothing, lives for nothing, and remains alive because there is nothing for which it will die. Relativism goes on to say you should never call attention to something that you see as wrong in a person's life, even if what you see is wrong based on what the Bible says. After all, it's only your opinion as to what you think the Bible says. And finally, relativism says that there are no absolutes in the Bible. When you see something in the Bible called sin or wrong, it is simply your preference or conviction concerning what the Bible says. After all, there are no absolutes found in the Bible. That's what relativism says, and it is ungodly. Well, what has happened to the local church? I'll tell you, the devil's goal has always been to tempt men to trust their own feelings and methods over the Word of God. Christ was even tempted by Satan to do things that were not right. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." We keep reading and we find that with each temptation to give in to human feelings, Christ said, "It is written." Where is it written? In the Word of God, Jesus quoted Old Testament scriptures. When man is tempted to build a church on man, on the methods that's used by man, instead of following God's will, the right answer to the temptation is what Christ said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. Temptation is not the sin. Giving into the temptation is the sin. Well, the liberal church is discarding and downplaying preaching in favor of newer means such as drama, dance, humor, comedy, variety, sideshows, histrionics. This histrionics means overdone emotion, done for show. And also it gives into pop psychology. Modern methods are being used to be more entertaining and to be more relatable. God's first and foremost method for communicating His Word to this generation is preaching. Why do people try to change the truth of God into a lie? How do people get others in God's local church to live and act like the devil? I'll tell you how they do it. They change God's truth into a lie. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Amen. God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants us to worship Him from the Word of God, teaching and preaching God's Word. "Thus saith the Lord." You need to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church that teaches and preaches Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and resurrected on that third day to bring eternal life to all of those who would call upon His name, believing in Him to save them.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.